In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman.
And this is Josh Knapp.
And we are minus Dave Brenner today due to some personal reasons,
well, yeah, but that is death fine. In the family, and he's okay, but, you know.
He's okay, but we will.
It's been a tough year that way, right?
Yeah, of course, we extend our condolences to him and his family.
And we miss him, Dave. If you're listening in, we miss you.
But we will drive on for the show today and do our best without his input and his guitar playing in the background.
And his educated insight.
Right, exactly. My voice is still not 100%. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I've been sick the past week.
I told you not to do that yodeling contest.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, my entire department is sick in one form or another over the past week and a half. We've had, like, you know, multiple call-outs in the same shift and just, like, craziness going on, you know. So
it's sort of interesting because those
– when you work in those kind of closed – you know, it's almost like a prison.
Right.
You know, you work in those closed areas with people and everyone ends up sharing the germs and everything, and no matter what you wash your hands, you do what you can, but you end up getting stuff. But I think I'm getting over it.
Is that one of the hazards of this job, would you say?
I guess it used to be like, you know, you worry about getting your partner sick if you just weren't, if you work for an agency that you just sat in the ambulance, you know, just you and your partner sitting there, you'd be like, oh, I want to get my partner sick, you know,
right.
But then when you work in a place where you're at an actual station and everyone's, you know, sitting around and sleeping in the same areas and stuff like that, I guess it you know, brings the exposure level, you know, higher. But, you know, we end up in this. I've always felt that, you know, calling in sick is frowned upon because you leave your agency short.
Once again, the double standards.
Yeah.
Right?
They tell you not, don't come in sick. Right? If you're sick, stay
because
home.
We're dealing with immunocompromised
people. You've got sick time,
people,
blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you got, right, exactly. You've got sick time. Don't, you know. But then if you do, a lot of places.
That's an incident.
Yeah, make it right. So a lot of places you're penalized in some way because you've called in sick. You know, other places you might not be penalized on your performance, but, you know, it's frowned on, and it's kind of put in the back of management's mind that, oh my God, he's cold and sick three times this week or three times over the past half a year or whatever the case may be, you know. So that's something that I guess, you know, it's – I don't know, that's always been something I've always felt. No matter where I've worked, I've always felt that way, you know. I mean, the job I worked at previous to this one, if you called in sick, they wouldn't give you a hard time on the phone. It'd be, oh, okay, no problem, you know, feel better. But then you would get points.
Right.
You know, for doing it. And then that, of course, reflected upon your
evaluation.
On your evaluation. But meanwhile, you're getting sick time.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so the time that I get, I can't use when I need it because I get penalized. I mean, I could see if you were the person calling in every other week or on weekends only and stuff like that. And there's a pattern building up as to when you're calling in sick.
But
then I can see it being done. Some looking at them. That's what, you know, to me, that's what a supervisor's for, to kind of look into that and say, okay, I've been noticing you're calling in sick on, you know, every Monday after you're off a weekend, you know, you're calling in.
Right.
And there's a pattern going on. So I'm just wondering what that's about or whatever. And that can be reflected upon you and maybe hit your evaluation at that point. But if you're calling in randomly, you know, because you got a legitimate issue, you know, it's a different thing. You know, even if you were able to bring in a doctor's note to prove that you were sick, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, but that's every agency is different.
It's a matter of abuse. They don't want it to be abused. You're only supposed to, we give you sick time, but you're only supposed to use it when you really need it. And when you're sick, you don't really need it. An example of when you really need it, you stopped a bullet for the head of management of your organization. Okay, yes. Then you can take your sick time. you jumped in front of a car, so, you know.
Yeah.
The president wouldn't get.
Well, I mean, you know, every place is different. Every agency is different. Every place you work is different. So, you know, some places are very, I've heard, are very accepting of it, and they don't judge, they don't hold it against you. But I don't know, every place that I've worked, they've always had that feeling, you know, of that. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of different agencies and how everybody does things differently, I wanted to talk about a blog post that I came across the other day from The Social Medic. He posted this actually yesterday regarding a petition for a minimum wage for EMTs and paramedics. Came across, I guess, because of the whole, you know, recently there was the whole thing with the fast food workers demanding $15 an hour, you know, for fast food workers. And a lot of them were asked, you know, well, do you think you should be getting this when EMTs are getting paid less than you? And they're like, yeah, you know, we work hard. We do more than they do and things like that. And now there's a petition for a federally mandated minimum wage for EMTs and medics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading it, I read the blog post and reading some of the comments and all, and I've actually talked to some, you know, just between yesterday and today, just some people that I know that I've spoken to about it. And a lot of the comments, Josh, really, it's not that people are against it or that they don't want to sign the petition, but it's almost they're already defeated without even trying on it. And if you read the comments in the blog post, a lot of the people even commenting have sort of this defeatist outlook on it without this even being, you know, really attempted yet. You know, good luck, where the money coming from type attitude, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to happen. You know, the agencies are never going to pay for it. Just interesting to me. I mean, and I think what they're looking at is making minimum wage for EMTs $15 and minimum wage for paramedics $20, which in most places I think will be higher than what most people are already getting. Some places that might be considered a lower amount. I know when I worked in New York City and I worked in New Jersey, I was getting paid more than $20 an hour
right.
You know, to be a paramedic there. But a lot of other places, you know, medics are working and they're getting paid, you know, $12, $13,
mm-hmm.
$14 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the responsibilities are the same or growing, you know, the education. Continuing education requirement is becoming, you know, more and more, and you know, it's just a, I don't know, it's like the, you're not getting, most places are not getting paid based upon, I think, even the entry level education that it takes to become an EMT or a paramedic.
Right.
You know, I actually talked to my partner about this, you know, a while back, and you know, he's talking about how people argue about how, well, you know, this place makes more money, you know, than EMTs and medics. You know, police make more money here, and firemen work more money there, and it's like, you know, it's almost a joke because you think about it, how a lot of jobs that they kind of argue, like sanitation makes more money, you know, than EMS.
It's been a long-standing saying, you know, they're willing
right.
to pay more to haul your dump, haul your
and
all right.
Yeah, and the thing is my point was kind of raising the point of, you know, it makes you laugh because, you know, how long would it take somebody, you pull them from the street to learn how to you know, to dump trash, right? You probably learn that job in about a couple of days. Whereas being an EMT or paramedic, you're talking about months of training.
Right.
You know, 120, 160 hours of training for an EMT, and thousands of hours, 1,200 hours, 2,000 hours to become a
Not to
paramedic.
mention continuing education.
Not to mention the constant, yeah, the constant continuing education every 2 years to recert, CPR and American,
Right, and
and
we've also
the
covered
last
in
thing.
other shows the changing protocols that change every 6 months
Sure,
and
right. The
such.
protocols that change very
Right.
much, and those
So
in service
there's a requirement of the job to stay current with the science of the job.
right.
And I think that that's an important distinction because there is a science that is the underlying foundation of what we do, and implied by science is education. So, I think that part of the problem that we constantly face is the aspect that this is it's discounted because it's we're in public service.
Right,
So
I think it's funny that you see that word science in that. You would think anything with that, any job with the word science in it, would somehow command a higher pay than $8, $9 an hour,
right.
to start at.
Wouldn't be in
And,
competition with flipping burgers.
right, exactly.
And
And
on that note, if you look at some of the blogs or some of the threads or some of the discussions that go on, or even that post that was up a while ago about, that do EMTs, paramedics deserve more when, burger flippers are trying to get $15 an hour, you have to
right.
sort of step back and say, why are we put in a position where we're pointing our fingers at a job with minimal education that's really considered to be menial labor?
And labor that's really, a lot of times point, sought out by people who are just coming out of high school or high school students or, those type of, people who are older, returning to work type,
Forced to return to work. I mean, like you're
yeah.
60. If you're going to work at a fast food joint, it's not because you love the interaction with people.
Yeah, but then that's the thing, though. You're talking about and it's nothing against them. It's just the fact of the requirement of the job. I mean, you look at that blog post, and they mentioned about how even the Department of Labor, describes it as a physically strenuous job that can be stressful and involves life or death situations. Okay, here's $9 an hour to do that. Versus here's a job, take the fries out when the bell rings. Ding goes the bell. Ding fries are done. You know what I mean? It's the, and here's $11 an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here's $12
Well,
an hour for that.
it's not even a matter. Then we get into when we start this whole discussion about the aspect of what should manual labor or menial jobs, and I think it's a misnomer to call them entry-level positions. I think in the past, the idea of having a paper route or going and working as a waitress or a waiter or fast food prep was considered entry-level because when they sort of first started these places, that's where young people went to work. But because the economy has been the way it has, where there's been very little growth in underpinning of wages for the last 40 years, and I don't mean to, this isn't a political statement, I mean, that's just fact. There's just been no growth in middle class wages. People, and once the economy starts to fail, and then what savings people have gets eaten up, all of those factors force an older part of the population to have to seek financing, to seek income. And the only, again, the prejudice of the workplace is they want sort of younger people. They want people with, and this isn't a fault of anybody, they want people that have longevity in a job where skills are required. They want a building of skills. I mean, it's a complex issue, but it basically forces a part of the population to seek employment in sort of substandard jobs. And you don't see that part, and it's interesting enough, you don't see that really people coming into EMS, you know, that way. And there must be a reason why they don't. And my guess is that EMS is rather strenuous. It's rather stressful. You have to get an education in order to do it. So the barrier to entry is certainly higher. So when we talk about something where the barrier of entry is higher, but the wage is not, now we're talking about an imbalance.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny to me because you can look at any sort of EMS career kind of discussion, and you'll have people banging the drum about, you know, getting a higher education, getting a bachelor's degree, and things like that.
And there's validity to that argument. I mean, let's not. Right.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm for that. I'm on board with that. You know, and I can see how that can help the profession and the industry and all that good stuff. But, and we've talked about this on the show before as well, you're banging that drum to go get a bachelor's degree, but then you're going to tell the person, okay, when you graduate, you can get a whopping $13 an hour.
Right, right. You know. So again, there's the mismatch to barrier to entry and then to compensation for overcoming that barrier, you know, for reaching those higher level of requirements should be met on the other side with a proportionate level, a higher level of pay. And that's where we break down. And the question has always been, why are we breaking down at that point? We're certainly, there's been no doubt that we've recognized you need more education. There's been no doubt we've recognized you need more dedication. There's been no doubt we've recognized there's greater risk in this section of employment, all right? So where are we continually breaking down in terms of, well, there should be no doubt that type of requirements pay more. That's the disconnect. And I think that, and we've sort of touched upon this when we've talked about wage and income in the show before, Jim, where we get to a point where we're competing with people who are willing to do it for free.
Yeah, well,
then it becomes the whole thing of volunteers and, you know.
Yeah, well, and again, that's a whole nother part of the argument. When you talk about when you see things online regarding discussion career, you know, career in EMS and all, and pay and education, and it gets to the point, okay, well, what am I going to go to school to volunteer and get paid nothing? Is that part of the game plan as well? You know, and of course the other side of that of agencies that can keep costs down because they've got it can be a blended department where half the department's volunteer and half of it's paid, so they don't have to pay the paid part of the department as much because they've got volunteers to fill in where the paid is you know coming up short, you know. I this petition I think is a good idea, and it maybe if it might raise some awareness to it, but I think there's barriers there when you're gonna ask a company to pay, you know, people just out of the box. You're talking about, you know, paramedics, let's say they're making $13, $14 an hour, and then you're gonna jump them up to almost $20 an hour.
Well, I don't understand that. Why do you think that's?
Because part of the argument, of course, against you know getting paid this much is the fact that we get paid based on what agencies are making, for our services. And when they're not getting reimbursed by insurance companies for the amounts that it's actually costing us to transport these patients, whether it's just a regular transport or whether it's something where we've given numerous medications and used expensive equipment and things like that, and then the insurance company turns around and reimburses an agency, $50 or $80. You know what I mean?
Well, does that denote a problem in the reimbursement or a problem in the model on how billing is done? I mean, for pre-hospital call,
both.
I think when you started talking about that, I started to think about the history of some of the other public services out there. And there was a time that all of these services started in a pay. They actually started as a volunteer or self-regulated community protection. If you had a fire brigade, it's because, you got a bunch of your neighbors together and said, listen, you can't fight this alone. So if there's a fire at any one of us or our places, we all come together and go and do this. And then it gradually morphed into a pay for protection situation where if you had an individual building, you would pay the local fire company to respond if you had a fire. And then it grew into sort of a public necessity, a public service where it was funded by the city as an overall aspect of living in the city, and it was reimbursed with taxes, and it wasn't on a case-by-case basis. Whether or not you needed them, you still paid for them, so you were distributing the requirement for pay, the burden for pay. And then, you look at the police department. If you had police departments started with villages protecting the outside of their boundaries from wild animals and foreign tribes. And then, it grew into a specialized group of police. And, there wasn't too long ago, 100 years ago, in New York City, if you wanted an investigation done, you had to fund that investigation. There were police, and they were there, and they were supposed to keep law and order on a general basis. But if you if you had something special, something stolen from you or somebody murdered, you had to – they wouldn't investigate that unless an interested party paid for it.
Yeah.
So, we're sort of – if you take that parallel, we've never moved past the – if you're interested, you have to pay for it. Instead of being funded by the public, there is this overall requirement that your insurance or you pay for the transport.
Right.
Well,
yeah, I mean, a lot of places do that now. It's like, some places don't say, okay, we're just going to take what your insurance company gives us. It's no, you called an ambulance, we transported you, and now this is what's left over for you to pay. I think when they don't do that, or for people who are on Medicare or Medicaid, they accept whatever those type of insurance gives them. But if you have a private insurance company, I mean, I know there's a place that will bill your freaking your cell phone bill, if you don't pay them. They're able to somehow bill your cell phone as a way to get you to pay, based on that. So, I think, we can come at – I think we can come at this argument in a lot of different ways and –
drifting off to is sort of supply and demand. I mean, that's sort of where we've deviated here. Are they coming in for? Does that then dictate what we should be paid?
Right, exactly. And I think, if you read some of the comments on this post. Now, the post has only been up for a day. It's already got 15 comments on it. I have a feeling it's going to be – those comments are going to be growing, as it's up here, for at least for a few more days anyway. But you know, there are people here who are saying things like, well, you know, you get into EMS, you know, getting into this, that it's not a high paying career. You know, that the pay is low when you get into it. So don't expect to get
I've never
rich
freaking
when you
understood
come
that.
into
That
that.
argument makes me nuts. That I mean, I just wanted to just tell you to go.
Well, of course. And then you get the people who say, you know, that it's a transitional career. You're here to do it for a while until you find something better to move on to, maybe nursing or being a doctor or whatever the case, you know, a firefighter or a police officer, whatever. And then there are other people who, you know, feel that it is a career and we should be, you know, getting compensated for it. And I mean, listen, you know, there are people out there that have been doing this for, you know, 15, 20 years or better, and have not really seen a big change when, especially when it comes to salary. They might have seen changes when it comes to the care we're giving, the like you said before, the science of what we're doing, protocol, the skills, and all that good stuff. But what you haven't really seen a big change in it is pay. You know, that's one of the things that's been, I think, has not really changed, you know, all that much. So, you know, I don't want to go on and on about this post and all, but I want to encourage people to check it out and consider signing the petition, you know, and maybe see where this goes. It might be something like they did with the minimum wage that they already did, where some places, some states are going to, you know, increase it over time. You know, over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, they're going to increase the salary ranges so that it'll be a minimum wage increase over the next few years, or some sort of improvement rather than just kind of standing still. You know, but I do feel that there is a pay issue here, and I think with something you've said, I think that should be, I think, looked at more, is that agencies should be billing people for the services, you know, for what they're using, especially when you think about some of the abuse that gets done, and the frequent flyers that call, not homeless, but, you know, people that tend to call, you know, all the time and use it as their doctor's office. Well, then we should be getting paid, you know, in that manner. You know, a doctor's not going to just accept your insurance. They want their copay. They want to make what they're expected to make, no matter how many times you go to the doctor, you know. And I feel that we should probably be billing people, you know, for the services that we're providing, and not just accepting whatever the insurance company gives us, you know, at face value, in order to go ahead and pay the higher salaries, you know. So, again, I'm going to leave this in the link to this post in the show notes. So hopefully people can go check out the post, read some more about it, maybe comment on it as well, add their comments to those 15 comments that are already there, and go check out the petition and sign it. And it's not, you know, this petition is not limited to EMS, you know, professionals either. It can be, you know, get your family to sign it, get your friends to sign it, put it on your own Facebook page, you know, get enough attention to it so maybe someone will be looking at it, other than just a small group of bloggers and podcasters that seem to give a shit at what goes on, you know, in the profession, you know. So I'll leave it there. Josh, I do want to mention, you know, people, that if you listen to this show and you enjoy it, please go to iTunes and leave a comment. It helps us with the rankings at iTunes. It helps us get more listeners and bring more attention to the show. And there's a link in the show notes here to go directly to iTunes. And also, you can look us up at Stitcher.com as well. The link in the show notes for that also. And that's sort of the iTunes for Android phones. So you can go check that out, and you know, go ahead and leave a comment there, like it, you know, whatnot also. Please go ahead and do that. And of course, if you have comments about the show, you agree or disagree with what Josh and I are talking about today, be sure to leave some comments in the show as well.
Sounds
You
like a
know,
plan.
the engagement is what we kind of strive for. So I always enjoy that.
Unless
You
you
know, when
get
we talk.
involved, don't expect any change.
Right, exactly. Right. Right. And if you like the show, I'm Jim Hoffman. If you hate it, I'm Jamie Davis.
And if you don't like my comments, I'm Josh. No, I'm Dave. I don't know who I am.
Yeah, you can pick another name.
I'm Jim Hoffman.
No, don't drag me into it. All right, man. Josh, anything you want to mention before we head out?
No. This was a good topic today. I would like people to do the same thing that you requested. Get on iTunes, make a comment, like us. Share us with your friends, and always, if you have something that you want discussed, and you know, this stuff filters out there. We put on this show, we've been doing this show for over 8 years, and some of our topics have reached some of the main media points for EMS and have been points of discussion and help promote change. And you know, get involved, send us comments, you know.
Yeah, let us know what you want to talk about. Right. I mean, we're more than happy to talk about some subjects that the listeners want to listen to as well. So.
And here's another thing. If somebody's out there listening, they feel absolutely impassioned about a particular topic and want to come on the show with us, we welcome that as well. So, you know, just email Jim at
it's contact@emsofficehours.com.
Right.
All right, Josh.
All right.
So that's it.
Sounds good.
Of course, if you want to increase your knowledge base and learn some more EMS stuff, go to turbomedic.com and sign up as a premium member there. And if you're looking for the best oxygen wrench money can buy, go to wantnew.com.
Oxygenwrench.com.
That's even better, even easier. Now to spell it out, you can go to oxygenwrench.com and pick out yourself up a Wantnew wrench as well. So, yep. All right, Josh, that's it for us. Until next time, as always, I am Jim Hoffman.
And I'm Josh Knapp.
Stay safe.